heard this morning from John, two bookends of texts featuring Peter, his triple denial and his encounter with Jesus on the beach, where Jesus asks three times if he loves him. These final verses of John's Gospel are a treat. We looked at the opening verses of chapter 21 last week and thought about the abundance of God's love, love that was poured out in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This last chapter seems a little odd in it that it comes after an explanation as to the purpose of the Gospel of John at the end of chapter 20. It's like it's an add-on that the writer who claims authorship and recognition as the disciple Jesus loved wasn't quite finished. He needed to add on this last wee bit just to make sure we got it. And so we have the breakfast on the beach and we have the meeting between Peter and Jesus. Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" This to Peter, once Simon, who has left his nets to follow him. Simon, a fisherman from Capernaum, where he lived with his wife, mother-in-law, and his brother Andrew. Andrew and Peter had their own boat and were the business partners of James and John. And they all left their boats and nets when they encountered Jesus. They become his first disciples, and from the outset, Jesus picks Simon out. In chapter 1 of John's Gospel, we read that Jesus looked at him and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas." This is the same as Peter and means a rock. Peter, impulsive and impetuous, acting without thinking. Peter, who jumped out of a boat and walked on water until, of course, he realized what he was doing. Peter, who didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. Peter, who rushed forward and cut the ear off the soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, who denied being a disciple of Jesus. Peter, who in our reading last week jumped into the lake to get to the shore to get to Jesus. Peter, given the keys of the kingdom. Peter, loved and trusted by Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Except Jesus has reverted to his birth name of Simon. Simon, son of John, do you love me? An echo to a day 3 years previous, huddled around a fire. Not once in that question, but asked three times. Echoes of that night. Stood around a charcoal fire. "Aren't you one of the disciples of that man?" "No, I'm not." "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" "No, I am not." "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" "No." And the cock crowed. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others?" Ouch. What was this encounter on the beach about? Back where it all began, more echoes. Was it about reconciliation? Did Jesus want Peter to know all was forgiven? You might think so, given Peter's denial. But at no point does Jesus say to him, "I forgive you," or words to that effect. For Jesus, Peter has done nothing to require forgiveness. If Peter needs forgiveness from anyone, it's himself. So if not forgiveness, then what is this encounter about? Theologian Caroline Lewis suggests that this encounter is about who Jesus needs Peter to be and getting Peter to accept this. Caroline points us back to the questions posed by those in the yard that night. "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" In John's Gospel, Peter's response is not to deny knowing Jesus, but to deny being a disciple of Jesus. An emphatic, "I am not." Caroline explains, as a result, the conversation between Jesus and Peter should take on a completely different meaning. Jesus does not blame or shame Peter. Jesus does not ask for Peter's repentance. Jesus does not ask three times, "Peter, do you love me?" to remind Peter of his threefold denial, to test him or to trap him. If any of that is true, that's not the Jesus I know, I love, or in whom I believe. Instead, as I've written before, she goes on, Jesus reaffirms who Peter needs to be, the disciple Jesus needs him to be, and the disciple Jesus needs Peter to be is the shepherd now. Take care of my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. This is not about forgiveness. This is about recommissioning. This is about what Jesus wanted from Peter now. This is about the future, the work that has to be done. I want us to all take a minute and to try and put ourselves in Peter's shoes or sandals even. You know the life that you have lived. You know the times that you've gotten things wrong. You know the times your words or actions have answered the question, aren't you also one of the disciples of that man? With an emphatic, I am not. We are none of us perfect. I've recently discovered the singer George Ezra, and on his latest album is a song entitled Only a Human. The song reminds us that we can run, we can jump, but that we can also, insert a sweary word there, it up. But not to blame ourselves, we are only human. And this is something we all need reminded of from time to time. Despite our best intentions, we will get things wrong. We are only human. We will fail. We are Peter. Peter was only human. And standing in his sandals, imagine that you are face to face with Jesus and he's asking you, do you love me more than these others do? Do you love me? Do you love me? What Jesus wants in that moment is for you to look him in the eyes and utter the word, yes. And you are free to utter that response without any clarifications. No need to rattle out a bunch of excuses for past behavior. No need to beg forgiveness. No need to look away ashamed. All Jesus wants in that moment is for you to say yes. And then take care of my lambs. Take care of my sheep. This is about the future, not the past. The past is taken care of. It was taken care of on a cross on Calvary. We live our lives in its shadow, forgiven and restored. And we are now invited to engage in the work of faith, of discipleship. On that beach in Galilee, Jesus stood with Peter, stood with us, and commissioned us to be his disciples. David Lowes, another contemporary theologian that I have quoted recently, offers this little thought. I think there is an important connection between this scene and our life of faith. We are commissioned at baptism to share in the work and ministry of our Lord. And yet we often fall short, failing to give witness in word or deed to our faith in the living Lord. And yet Jesus doesn't just commission us. Jesus also forgives us when we fall short. And Jesus doesn't just forgive us, but calls us to try again. And Jesus doesn't just call us to try again. Jesus also invites us to share what we have and give us meaningful work to do. This is the story of Peter, called to follow, falling short, forgiven, and repeat. The gospel readings this morning are a reminder that Jesus picked out his 36 disciples to be his closest confidants and helpers. And they were far from perfect, and yet he chose them. Now, I can't remember if I've shared this with you before, or you may have heard it somewhere else from somebody else, but I offer this little thought. If a management consultants existed in ancient Israel, This is perhaps the advice they might have given Jesus in choosing a leader from among his disciples. It's a memo to Jesus of Nazareth from the Jerusalem Management Consulting Firm. Dear Sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you've picked out for management positions in your new organisation. All of them have now taken a series of tests, and we've not only run the results through our computer, but we've also conducted an in-depth interview with each of them by our staff psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all the tests are included, and you will want to study each of them carefully. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept, and we would highly recommend that you continue your search for persons with more experience, higher qualifications, and greater managerial abilities. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and is given to fits of temper. Andrew simply has no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty and are quite boisterous. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale among the troops. It's also our duty to inform you from the Better Business Bureau of Greater Jerusalem that they've received reports on Matthew regarding questionable business practices. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and both demonstrate attitude problems which would present difficulty in their dealing with the public. However, one of your candidates shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, responsible, and is not afraid to take the initiative. We recommend Judas Iscariot as the most qualified of all your prospective candidates. And yet, it is Peter that stands on that beach that morning and is given the task of feeding the lambs and sheep. Peter, you, me, the person sat next to you. How we do this is for each of us to think about. How do we connect what we do each week in church with our lives outside these walls? Each of us has the potential to impact on those we meet day by day. Each of us has the potential to engage with the world and make a difference. It won't always be easy. We will fail. We will get things wrong. We will disappoint. We will let people down. We may even fall away. But if we do, then today's gospel is a reminder that Jesus is waiting for us on that beach, ready to ask again, "Do you love me?" No condemnation, no questions asked. And it is here that we have the opportunity week by week to meet with Jesus, to recenter ourselves ready for that week ahead, the work ahead. Here is the place where we can gather for nourishment and encouragement, to be reminded that Jesus has not given up on us. Jesus shows up on that beach, hosts a meal one more time, tells Peter, tells us, "I believe in you. I know who you are and I love you. And yes, you are exactly the disciple I need, the disciple the world needs." Amen.